Do you understand the purpose of human existence as we enter the new millennium? World News and Prophecy presents an analysis of world affairs and the answers to the great questions of life in light of the Word of God. This program will help you unlock the true meaning behind the events in the Middle East, the global economy, politics, and religion. And now, for World News and Prophecy, Dr. Donald Ward.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. Are you in a state of denial as the world scene continues to spin out of control? But to listen to news reports from U.S. media sources, one could be led to believe that all is well with the world and the golden age is about to dawn. After all, the Democrats are now in control of both houses of Congress, and they will surely lead us into an era of peace and prosperity. But as the Democrats gloat in the glory of victory and the Republicans lick their wounds and try to explain what went wrong, the forces of evil are not impressed with either party. Conditions in the hot spots around the world continue to deteriorate as most of the peoples of the world are caught in a struggle for survival as the masses in the U.S. continue to entertain themselves to death. It seems that no one is able to really read the handwriting on the wall. The Republicans shouted long and loud during the political campaign leading up to the elections that the barbarians must be stopped, and that they were the party that was dedicated to national security, and that they would win the war against terrorism. The Democrats played the emotional card. They said war is ugly, and said we must change our course in Iraq. Both parties claim to be concerned about the hordes of illegal immigrants that are pouring into the United States. The Republicans and Democrats exchanged verbal barrages on the major social issues of the day as well. Homosexuality and so-called gay rights, abortion versus the right to live. And there were the usual exchanges concerning economic issues. The Democrats will raise your taxes, we're told by the Republicans, and the Democrats say that the Republicans will favor the rich and the multinational corporations. The Democrats say they will raise the minimum wage while the Republicans will squeeze the working man in favor of big business interests. And all of these things are major issues that are in desperate need of being addressed and solved. But the major issues that face the world are not just in the physical arena of the world of politics and economics. The major issues that plague the world are spiritual in nature and can only be solved by pursuing the source of true spiritual power and understanding. For some reason, the urgency of the times in which we live does not resonate with the peoples of the Western world, and especially with the masses in the United States. It is amazing how people can live in a state of denial and give the appearance that all things continue as from the beginning. Bob Woodward rubbed raw nerves in the Bush administration with his book title, State of Denial. But when all is said and done, the principal response to his charges will be to deny that we're in a state of denial. So the denial continues and we go about our business as if all things continue as from the beginning, while the evidence to the contrary continues to mount. As one reads the prophecies in the Bible concerning end-time events, they could easily get the idea that all sense of what we call normalcy ceases during these critical, crucial times that lead up to the end of this present evil age. You read of war, famine, pestilence, disease, upset weather conditions, earthquakes, and terrible plagues that ravage the earth and its inhabitants. But that does not necessarily mean that all sense of normalcy ends. The fact that a sense of all things continues as from the beginning will be a part of the deception, and thus make it more difficult for people to really grasp the depth of the deception. In the days just before Jesus was crucified, he spent his days teaching in and near the temple in Jerusalem. On one of those days, he and his disciples were sitting on the Mount of Olives overlooking the city of Jerusalem, and the disciples asked him what would be the sign of his coming in the end of the age. Jesus then gave them several signs. You can read this in Matthew chapters 24 and 25. He says that false teachers will come in his name. There will be wars, rumors of war, kingdom against kingdom, nation against nation, famines and pestilences and earthquakes in different places. He states that these are the beginning of sorrows. And surely we are seeing this in our day and age. All of these things here, we have false teachers that abound. There are wars, rumors of war, famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in different places. But he states these are the beginnings of sorrows. He then talks about true believers being delivered up to be afflicted and killed. And he states that true believers will be hated of all nations for his name's sake. Then he says that many will be offended and shall betray one another and hate one another. You see, those who really understand and those who really stand up for the truth will be an embarrassment to those who have the appearance of righteousness but deny the power thereof. These are the people who give intellectual assent to the truth but refuse to stand up for the truth when the tide of public opinion sweeps them into the camp of the in crowd. You see, they want to give the appearance of normalcy, so they won't be labeled as religious fanatics. They're just like everybody else, except they claim to believe in God. But will they really stand up when the chips are down? Christ says that because iniquity, which means lawlessness, shall abound, the love of many will grow cold. In everyday language, this means that because everybody else is engaged in seeking their own pleasure, believers fall prey to peer pressure and go along with the masses. They just can't stand to be labeled as one who really stands up for the truth of God. Later in this famous prophecy, Jesus shows us that at the end of the age, it will be comparable to the days of Noah. So what was happening during the 120 years that Noah spent building the ark? Noah is called a preacher of righteousness in the Bible. Psalm 119, verse 172, tells us that all of God's commandments are righteousness. If you want righteousness defined, then you look at the commandments of God, and you will see a definition of righteousness. In fact, the Bible definition of love is keeping the commandments of God. 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we should keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." The Apostle James talks about the fact that the law of God is the perfect law of liberty if you will walk therein. Noah was apparently preaching the way of righteousness and truth and calling the people to repentance, warning them that unless they stop disobeying God, that there would be coming upon the earth a great cataclysmic flood that would destroy life. But as Noah preached, no one really responded to his preaching. Note what Jesus says about those days. In Matthew 24, verse 36, "But of that day and hour knows no man, no, but the angels of heaven, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." In other words, there is a sense of all things continue as from the beginning, a sense of, quote, normalcy, whatever that is, taking place of people going about their business. They're going to the movies, they're going out to dinner, they're doing this, that, and the other. They're eating and drinking and giving in marriage. "Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come." Now we have warnings in the Bible, and those who really love the truth can be prepared so that that day does not come upon them unawares. But for those who do not love the truth and do not open the pages of the Bible and really search out what is really going on, they will be deceived. You can readily see from this description that Jesus Christ gives concerning the days of Noah that an appearance of normalcy, all things continuing as from the beginning, continues as people are eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. The Apostle Peter wrote of the times in which we are living in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. In other words, their own desires, trying to get what they want for themselves, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? And one of the main questions that people are asking now, in view of the world spinning out of control and all the suffering, misery, agony, and pain that we see in the hearts of the sons of men today, people are asking, where's God? So they say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of. See, there is living testimony through the words of the Bible itself, and for that matter, even history and archaeology, that shows irrefutably that the Word of God is true. So he says they are willingly ignorant that by the Word of God the heavens were of old. In other words, it was through the Word of God, and God spoke and it was done, that the earth was created and all that there is therein, and the heavens themselves, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. So you see, creation took place perhaps billions of years ago, and then Satan rebelled, and there was chaos and confusion in the universe, and at some point in time, God recreated the earth for the sons of men. Much of what we call now outer space and the planets have been wrecked and to some degree ruined and are not habitable as far as a human life is concerned. And for that matter, there are only two forms of life in, quote, outer space. And, of course, you can send someone into outer space with regard to a rocket or a spaceship or something like that, but they must take with them all of the things that are here on Earth in order to survive, and they can't survive just in outer space on their own. There are two forms of life existing in outer space, and that is what we call outer space: God and Jesus Christ and the beings around his throne and the angels. And in addition to that, there are the fallen angels, Satan, and the demons. That's all the life form that exists in outer space. Now, what man can do with regard to what he can do in space, we don't know completely. In fact, it says in Genesis chapter 11 that nothing shall be restrained in which they imagine to do. So God went down and confounded the languages of humans at that time and took them away from the Tower of Babel. But now the world is returning to the Tower of Babel, and language barriers, geographical barriers, and all the other barriers that have tended to keep human beings from pooling their knowledge has now been overcome through the technologies of the day. And so we see knowledge increasing dramatically, as Daniel prophesied in Daniel chapter 12, verses 6 and 7 along in there, where it says, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. But the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the first several verses there, he describes behaviors that will be extant at the end of this age. And among these behaviors is ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we see that this phenomenon that is taking place right now, where people are just denying God, is a long-standing phenomenon that Peter prophesied of. But Peter goes on to say, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So 6,000 years, 7,000 years, or 100,000 for that matter, in God's sight, is really nothing when we talk about eternity, because eternity does not end. He goes on to say, the eternal is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God is not a respecter of persons, and he wants everyone to come to repentance. So are you in a state of denial concerning where we are in the course of human history and the plan of God? Well, I hope you're not. We have for you literature that you can order that will help you to understand the events of the day. These events that are unfolding before us are written in the pages of your Bible, and you can come to understand them and be prepared for that which lies ahead. One of the articles that we're offering in this program is titled, Are We Living in the Last Days? All you have to do to receive our free booklet titled, Are We Living in the Last Days? Is to call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. We will also send you the booklet, You Can Understand Bible Prophecy. So once again, to receive the two free booklets, Are We Living in the Last Days? And You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, all you have to do is to call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And now back to World News and Prophecy. As we have seen in the first segment of our program, the world continues to spin out of control as we continue to see the conditions in the world deteriorate with the news out of Korea, the news out of China, the news out of Iran, the news out of Iraq, the news out of the Middle East, and so on. It goes all around the world, and the political turmoil and the domestic troubles that beset the peoples of the United States, where illegal immigrants are pouring into the country, and so much more crime ravages our peoples, and we are just in a state of anxiety and fear, wondering where the next shoe will drop. But at the same time, people are in a state of denial. We see further evidence of the sense of normalcy that Satan, the beast, and the false prophets strive to maintain during the cataclysmic times that lead to the end of this present age in Revelation chapter 11. As the world enters into the time of the Great Tribulation, God will raise up two witnesses who will prophesy for 1260 days in the city of Jerusalem. Remember now that during this time, the world will be rocked by the final fulfillment of the seven seals of Revelation 6 and the trumpet plagues that are described in Revelation chapters 8 and 9. After the two witnesses have completed their maturia in the Greek, that Greek word maturia means their witness, their testimony, their record, they will be killed by the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit. Revelation 11, verse 7. The two witnesses will turn evidence against Satan, the beast, and the false prophets as they reveal the deception that Satan and his system have used to hide the truth of the glorious gospel of God. The beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will be so angered by their testimony that he has been revealed for what he really is and what his system really is all about, that he will be allowed to kill the true witnesses of God. Doubtlessly, these events will be covered live and in color via satellite television. The peoples of the world will rejoice and send gifts to each other upon hearing that the two witnesses have been killed. Why do they rejoice in hearing and seeing that the two witnesses have been killed? It is because they've been deceived into believing that the very prophets of God are the real enemies. Thus, you see that even in view of the fact that the earth has been ravaged with terrible wars and plagues, the worshippers of the beast and the false prophet are still able to send gifts to each other. How will Satan, the beast system, and the false prophet be able to deceive the world into worshiping them? The deception will be so pervasive and so persuasive that people will go along with the deceivers. Remember these two P's, pervasive and persuasive. Perhaps we are beginning to see the seeds of this sown in the minds of people with all the opinion polls that are continually presented through the various media sources. Out of these public opinion polls comes the so-called proof of what people are really thinking and what people really want. Satan has used many different strategies through the ages to bring the world to its current position. His various strategies and governmental strategies have run the gamut of political, economic, social, and religious systems, ranging from anarchy to tyranny. But the system that is most deceptive is the system in which the people choose for themselves what they want, When U.S. elections are over, the winning candidates talk about how the people have spoken. So the elected officials claim to receive their mandate to rule from the people. There is now a politically correct code of ethics that is being enforced on the peoples of the Western world. Note the words of the prophet Hosea as he warns us to turn to God. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. And as the prophet Jeremiah cries out, he warns us, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. In other words, they're getting rich by what they're doing, and that's why they're in it. They're in it for the money, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? So why do people accept the politically correct code? Because at its heart and core it says that all lifestyles are acceptable except the speech or behavior that does not tolerate all other lifestyles. It's the old "who made you a judge over me" argument wrapped in the cloak of "you're free to choose." It is the same lie that Satan sold to Eve in the Garden of Eden. He said to her, "Choose for yourself what is good and what is evil. Don't listen to God. You won't surely die." People are now deceived into calling evil good and good evil in the name of "we must tolerate all behavior." According to London's Observer Music Monthly, Elton John recently stated, quote, "I think religion has always tried to turn hatred towards gay people. Religion promotes the hatred and spite against gays," end of quote. Then he went on to say that he would ban religion altogether. Note the deceitful nature of this statement about religion being the source of hatred toward gay people. In other words, it's not homosexuality that should be judged, but rather the people who believe homosexuality is a sinful lifestyle as noted in the Bible. The logical conclusion of such a statement then, of course, is if we didn't have religion that condemns such behavior, there would be no hatred of the gay lifestyle, so let's just do away with it. Remember, Elton John was knighted by Queen Elizabeth of England, and he is called Sir Elton. Indeed, the prophets do prophesy falsely, and the people love to have it that way. Whereas God says in Proverbs 8:13, "The fear of the Eternal is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." Yes, God hates sin because sin is against Him and sin is against yourself because the wages of sin is death. When people begin to accept evil, they have lost their fear of God. They lose sight of the fact that they would have never existed if it had not been for God's desire to share His love and being with them in the first place. So He created humans in His own image and ordained a family plan that allows humans to become members of His very own family. But God gave humans the prerogative of choosing whom they would follow. God's way or the way of Satan the devil. Humans have been making the wrong choices from the Garden of Eden to the present day. And now that humanity is on the brink of destroying themselves, people cry out, "Where is God?" As the so-called ethnic cleansing continues in the Sudan, with the people being tortured and murdered, with famines and disease ravaging the peoples of the land, and little children crying and starving and begging for food. People cry out, "Where is God? If there's a God, why doesn't He step in and end the suffering that is extant on the earth?" Yet at the same time, they want to be free to choose for themselves the way that they would go and deny God. God did not create robots. He wants us to voluntarily choose His way, so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So He has allotted humankind a period of time to choose for themselves the way in which they will go. It is not God's fault that the world is spinning out of control. The world is spinning out of control because the god of this world, Satan the devil and the demons, have blinded the minds of the peoples of the world to follow the wrong spirit. The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, wherein we have all walked at one time or the other, but we can come out of it. For some reason, the peoples of the Western world slumber as the wrong spirit robs them of their will to stand up against the forces of evil. Recently, David Kupelin, and associate editor of WorldNet Daily wrote an op-ed piece titled "The God Vacuum, America and the Barbarian Hordes." Note how he describes the lack of understanding among Americans and Europeans regarding the nature of the warfare that is being waged against the West. He says, "This raging conflict between Islam and the West, this clash of civilizations that many are calling World War III, is at root a spiritual war." He concludes by saying, "All the vain, prideful fantasies of the post-Christian, secular, multiculturalism worshiping Europeans are crashing down around them." He goes on to talk about how the French are terrified of the Muslims that comprise 10% of their population. He goes on to conclude, "Having traded the Christian faith of their fathers for the smug, self-righteous ecstasy of their socialist welfare state, they have no spiritual strength left with which to fight back the invading hordes. We need to wake up and remember who we really are. We need to realize the bottom line reality that man is a spiritual creation and that he will have faith one way or the other. If he doesn't embrace the truth faith, he will embrace false faith. It's not only automatic, it's God ordained. So you will either follow God or Satan and the devil. As we've been explaining in great detail on this program for years, the ultimate warfare is spiritual. But for some reason, that message just doesn't seem to resonate with Americans. The opponents of God's word are quick to point the finger at the hypocrisy of religious and political leaders of our day who claim to uphold traditional values. The intelligentsia, on the other hand, as well, continues to lead an onslaught against the truth of God and his word in the name of science. Almost every week now, there's some kind of so-called new scientific discovery that casts doubt on the existence of God and his role as creator and sustainer of the universe. There has never been and never will be any sensible explanation for the origin of matter and life apart from the creation, that creation by Almighty God. Every explanation always begs the question of where did matter come from and who designed and established the laws that govern the movement of all matter and that governs all life forms. In fact, the notion that there are intelligent beings existing in the universe is one of the great deceptions that is being foisted off on the peoples of the world. In fact, a former British defense minister just this week, or it was last week perhaps, resigned and warned that aliens could attack at any moment. And now the headlines of this moment. Iran's president Ahmadinejad states, "Israel's destruction near." Prime Minister of Israel Olmert states, "Israel will not tolerate a nuclear Iran." Chinese Song-class diesel-powered attack submarine shadows U.S. submarine Kitty Hawk. And Democrats to call for U.S. troops withdrawal from Iraq. That's a little bit about what the world is doing at the present time. Yes, the world is spinning out of control, and the ultimate warfare is spiritual. Are the weapons of your warfare spiritual? You have been listening to World News and Prophecy. For the free literature offered on this program, "Are We Living in the Last Days?" and you can understand Bible prophecy, all you have to do is to call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, 1-888-886-5614, or log on to the web at ucg.org, and go to the Lit Library. Be sure to be tuned next week at the same time for World News and Prophecy.